All right, so as we take a look at leadership in general, ministry leadership in potential, and in particular, we're taking a look at conflict again and ways that we can handle conflict well. Have any of you ever been surprised, maybe even shocked, by the level of vitriol that can sometimes be poured out during conflicts that take place in your meetings? Now, I imagine it can be kind of a bit of a surprise if you're, you know, at a meeting at work and everyone's considered to be professional. But man, how about if you're at a meeting that is directly related to ministry and some of those more unsavory attitudes and dispositions are released, unleashed? Yes, it really helps to have some ideas of how to deal with conflict. So one of the things that Dr. Linhart recommends is that you kind of lay out the frame for how the conflict will be dealt with. And of course, one of the first things to do is take the time to listen to the people who are involved in the conflict. Take the time to listen to everyone involved in the conflict. Part of the thing is you need to take time to identify and listen to all the voices. Proverbs 18 and 17 says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. So we need to make sure that we are truly listening to all the voices. And here's the thing. This is something that can be so difficult for so many people, including churchgoers, church attendees, listening objectively with the intention of getting to the truth of the matter, getting to the reality of the matter, so that the conflict can be resolved correctly, appropriately. Too often, people come to these different types of disagreements, these conflicts, and they may be allowing the other person or the other people to talk, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are truly listening while everyone is talking. Their ears may be really, really perked up when someone who is supporting their view is talking. But when someone else is expressing a different view is talking, they pull down their antennas because they're not as receptive. And sometimes that's simply because we know where the people are coming from and we know that there's not much to what they're going to be sharing. At other times, it's because we're simply being biased and we're refusing to be objective. Sometimes we haven't even heard much of what the other view is. But as soon as we determine that it is not in line with our view, we're ready to shut down and shut out. And that is not a good way to resolve conflict, especially for the leader who is acting as mediator. So we're taking time to identify and listen to all the voices. Secondly, we're taking the time to understand the scope of the conflict. We can often hear it said that everyone is upset when only two or three people are upset. We may hear everything is broken when maybe only one process is broken. It takes more time than we think to understand the situation, but if we rush to our solution, we might miss God's incredible blessings as He works out this conflict. Don't rush into it. Don't try to rush through it. Take your time. It's important that in addition to laying that frame for how the conflict will be dealt with, we understand how conflict erupts. Now, let me share with you again how sometimes ministry teams go rogue during times of conflict. There's something that Dr. Linhart shares with us that I think is significant. When he talks about a particular pastor of a particular church who works with his congregational members, church staff, and talks about how sometimes conflict does arise. But here's the thing. Although the conflict does arise, it has never resulted in divisiveness. And all too often in our churches, you have people who bring agendas and attitudes with them, and divisiveness becomes a part of the mix. Divisiveness becomes a part of the equation. And, you know, unfortunately, even when people pray and ask God to lead and guide and help us move along with him so that his will is done, very often people already know what their will is, and they really don't care what God's will is. They were just going through the motions, using the religious lingo when they were saying, amen, let God's will be done. When it's done right, when people bring the right attitudes, even when conflict does arise, divisiveness does not have to follow. So again, what can cause ministry teams to go rogue? Selfishness, which includes the inability or the unwillingness to play team ball. Pettiness, where people let small things become big. Personal agendas. Oh, how many of you have come across people, good, quote unquote, God-fearing people who love the Lord, but they're constantly bringing their personal agendas with them all the time? Doesn't mean that they're never able to make right decisions based on what is right in the sight of God. It just means that very often they're doing things that have nothing to do with God's program, God's mission, God's ministry, God's ways. And you start talking about having meetings that bring up issues that, you know, they already know what they want and they're really not hearing it when someone else offers some other views that may bring about a better outcome than their agenda. Personal agendas can cause ministry teams to go rogue. What else? The inability to have frank and honest discussions. So many people, don't get upset with me for saying this, but lie. They lie about this, they lie about that, and you can't get anywhere with them because they won't have an honest discussion. What else can cause ministry teams to go wrong? Failure of leadership to watch themselves individually and as subgroups. What else can get in the way? Remember now, there's nothing that says that just because conflict arises that divisiveness has to follow. And it is not necessarily a sin that conflict arises. We're humans. We have different views. We have different desires, etc., different ways of understanding things. Conflict will sometimes arise, but how do we handle it? What else can lead to the cause of ministry teams going rogue? How about low level of commitment to the cause? They're much more committed to their agenda than to the God-given cause. How about lack of clarity of the mission? So we can deal with these things. And you see how a lot of this has to do with me working on me. If I have a personal agenda, I need to be dealing with my attitude. How about if I'm selfish or petty? That requires me working on me. I may need to have someone help me, but I've got to work on me. Low level of commitment to the cause. That could be one individual. That could be a group of people. Low level of commitment to the cause. Now, remember now, you're working as leaders. And so it's important that as leaders, we're aware of these facts and that we're knowing that these can be dealt with and need to be dealt with. Dealing with conflict. How about this one? Just as our closing comment. What if we were for this matter? What if during the time of conflict, we discuss with many voices and we commit to this, discussing with many voices, but leaving with one voice? All those different views, even different feelings, and we're airing those out, hopefully appropriately. We're discussing with many voices, but because of our commitment to the cause, and even more importantly, because of our commitment to God, we're leaving with one voice. Give that some thought. You may find that by putting that into action, where you minister, you may be indeed letting some of life's best moments come through you, especially as you set the example for the others. Till next time.